Hello and welcome again to our broadcast. This is number 6 in the series, We Are Learning to Discern. Stay tuned. Reading again our verse in Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 14 says, But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, God says, I want you to discern both good and evil. Back in the Garden of Eden, he said, I don't want you eating that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Why? Because they only needed to know good then. And now, since Adam and Eve got us into this mess we call sin, we need to know to be able to discern between both good and evil. Now, there's three types of people in this world as God sees it. There's, first of all, the unsaved. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man, the unsaved man, he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Those things, he can't know them. Why? Because those things are spiritually discerned. So there you have the unsaved man. The next type of man we have here in 1 Corinthians 2:15 is the Christian, the normal Christian. It says, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. He that is spiritual, he can understand, he can discern things if he's a normal Christian. Now, a normal Christian is a Christian. The word normal means to be conforming to an expected standard, and God has a standard, and the normal Christian is doing that. Well, then the third group we have unsaved, we have the normal Christian, and then we have the abnormal Christian who is not conforming to the expected standard. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it begins to read in verse number 1, it says, And I, brethren, Paul is speaking here, could not speak unto you as spiritual, that's the normal Christian, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Babes, they're abnormal. They're not doing and being what they need to be. So he says to them, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. He said, I came and I started this church here, and everybody was excited and growing. Now as he comes back and looks, he says, you're a bunch of babies. You are abnormal. You are not conforming to the expected standards. Well, in Hebrews chapter 5, he's got the same problem. It says in verse 11, we've got many things to say to you people, but seeing you are dull of hearing, we can't utter them to you. Why? He says that you are in need of milk and not strong meat. The same situation. Now, these are abnormal Christians. So as you listen to this broadcast today, you're in one group or the other. You're either unsaved, which means you're on the road to hell, or you're a normal Christian, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Now the abnormal Christian to say, oh, who are you to judge? And they get all upset because we're doing what the Bible says normal Christians are supposed to do. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. What part of that is too difficult for you abnormal Christians to understand? Well, if you're going to be a normal Christian, especially in this age of apostasy that we're living in, you're going to have to make it a priority. Jesus said to that remnant, those normal Christians of his day, he said to them in Matthew 6 and verse number 33, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We have to set a priority to make sure that we are going to be normal Christians, because you have the old nature there, and that old nature wants to drag us back the other way. Well, as Paul writes to these people in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 11, you can almost hear the frustration in his heart as he says, I have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. Now keep in mind, he is writing to the remnant here, and the remnant is going dull, and we can too. You look in the Bible, you see that frustration level for Moses because the people wouldn't listen to him. Jeremiah's day, he quit. He said, I can't do this anymore. Of course, he came back. He said, I have to do it. Samuel got discouraged, and Lord said, no, they've not forsaken you. They have forsaken me. And here Paul, as I say, you can almost feel the frustration where he says, I have so many things I'd like to teach you, but you're dull of hearing. Now, this word dull has been translated slothful in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 12, and slothful means to be apathetic. Now, as God looks at the big picture here in this world today, in the world, one word would describe it, anarchy. It says it's going to be like that at the end of the age. As far as Christian world is concerned, one word will describe that too, and that's apostasy. But when it comes to the remnant, and God says, God has always had a remnant, and the problem there is we have the danger of becoming apathetic. So we have a world of anarchy, unsaved people. We have Christian filled with apostasy. And the remnant, he said, your big danger is apathy. Now, the challenge in most of the things that are written here regarding spiritual growth are written to the remnant. We need to keep that in mind. You look at Noah's day, there was a remnant. There was a few. It says in 1 Peter 3 and verse number 20, there was but a few, only 8 souls that were saved. You look in Isaiah's day, and Isaiah 1 and 9 says, if it had not been for a very small remnant, we would have been as Sodom and Gomorrah. You look at when Christ was born, and in that area, who was involved? Well, there was, of course, Joseph and Mary, and a few shepherds, and a couple of people in the temple who knew what was going on. That was it. Oh, there was lots of other people in the temple who didn't have a clue what was happening around them. And then you have, during the ministry of Christ, Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, fear not, little flock. He didn't have a big group. Oh, they followed him around for what they could get. You heal my diseases and so on, raise the dead. Yeah, but they weren't interested in the spiritual aspects of things that Jesus had. And then you look at the early church, and if you look carefully, you will find that 7 times it talks about the church that was in their house. They didn't have any big churches there. They had the church that was in their house. Now, keep in mind, they were organized. They had pastors and deacons and that sort of thing. It wasn't like today where a bunch of disgruntled people are going home and having a little time of singing and reading a couple of verses and calling it church. That's not church. But in Romans chapter 11 and verse number 5, it says, even so at this present time also, there is a remnant. And so it is to the remnant, that we need to be careful that we do not fall into being into this area of apathy and becoming apathetic and not concerned about what's going on around us. You look in the Word of God and you see Ephesians, they were great Christians. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 1, it talks about the faithful saints at Ephesus. And what does he say to them in chapter 4 and verse 14? He says, oh, that don't you don't want to be, that you be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. He says in verse number 15, you need to grow up. Boy, that's pretty plain preaching, Paul. Yeah, and he's preaching to the remnant. He's preaching to the faithful Christians. And so perhaps you're listening to this broadcast and you want to get a little bit self-righteous because you're part of the remnant. No, what we need to do is be careful that we do not become apathetic as part of the remnant. Paul wrote to the Galatians, and they were a great church, but he says to them, you did run well, in chapter 5 and verse 7, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? In Galatians 1 and 6, he said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed unto another gospel. And as to the remnant, he says, you need to be careful, and he challenges us as part of the remnant. Even back in Nehemiah's day, they had a remnant. They came back there, they were building the wall, and Nehemiah had to challenge them and say, fight for your brethren and for your sons and for your daughters and for your wives and for your houses. Why did he have to say that in Nehemiah 4 and 14? Because they were coming apathetic. They were getting tired of the battle. And it is a serious thing when we get tired of the battle. Well, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 4, he says, now here's the secret to keep on, keep going. He said, here it is. You need to have your senses senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You need to have your senses exercised. Now, what are your senses? We mentioned before about five senses, the word taste, hearing, sight, smell, and touch. The word taste is in the Bible 22 times. Hearing is in the Bible 39 times. Sight is there 333 times. Smell is in there 20 times. And touch is in the Bible 48 times. So there's your senses. And there's a study for you. Get in there and exercise those senses. Get the Bible and get those verses. And you can do it. Get the computer program there and get it on your computer and punch in those words and trace those scriptures through and exercise those senses to discern both good and evil. Say, this doesn't taste right. I'm hearing something that isn't right. I don't like what I see here. Something smelly here on this one. I don't like the smell of this. And even the touch where it gets to your heart. You can say, well, there's something wrong with that. And the actual sense that I believe it's talking about here is the sense that is the ability to determine that something is wrong. I just sense there's something wrong with this. And that's when the Holy Spirit is dealing with our spirit. We exercise the senses so that we can discern both good and evil. You see, discernment is a byproduct. There isn't rule 1, 2, 3, 4. It's a byproduct of exercise. Now, the world is busy exercising. What do? It's an activity. It's not sitting in church three times a week for 45 minutes. It's an activity to improve their physical thing. They don't go to a meeting when they want to exercise and sit there and listen about exercise lessons. They exercise. And that's what we need to do. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:8 that bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable in all things. We have all kinds of smartwatches today. You can go buy a smartwatch and stick it on your wrist and see how your heartbeat's doing and your heart rate's going and how many calories you've used up and so on. Maybe we better get a smartwatch, a spiritual smartwatch, to see how our hearts are doing. You need to exercise concerning spiritual things. Sit around watching TV all week and then go to church three times for a 45-minute sermonette. It's not going to make it. You're not going to get it. It's not going to happen. We need to exercise the senses so that we can discern between good and evil. The ability to discern. Now, you say, I'm part of the remnant. That's great, but can you discern? You can be part of that group that says, hey, we don't want to get mixed up in that bad stuff over there, but can you discern what is right and what is wrong? You know, it's a sad thing. You look into the Bible and you see that when it comes to exercising, Peter, 2 Peter 2:14 talks about unstable souls. What they do, they exercised with covetous practices. They exercised with covetous practices. And Peter says in 2 Peter 2:14, they've forsaken the right way. You say, well, I wouldn't do that. Solomon did it. Solomon, Ecclesiastes 1:13, he said, I gave my heart to seek and to search the things that are done under the sun. Wow, I would think that Solomon, we would all consider him to be part of the remnant in Israel at that time. What happened to him? I gave my heart to seek and to search out the things that are done under the sun. And what did he say? He said, this is sore travail. He says, to be exercised therewith, it is sore travail. He said, he called it vanity 33 times. It is vanity, not only vanity, but vexation of spirit. You won't find any vexation of spirit if you get into the Word of God and exercise those senses so that we can discern both good and evil. In Jeremiah's day, it says in Jeremiah 2:5, they are gone far from me. They have walked after vanity and are become vain. Well, if you're going to exercise those senses, first of all, there has to be a decision, and then there has to be a direction. A decision is a conclusion or a resolution reached after consideration. So the Bible says, come now, let us reason together. Let's reason together. Are you going to make a decision? Come to a conclusion. Think it through and come to a conclusion or a resolution reached after consideration. What are you going to do? Are you going to just go on and fluff around in the world, or are you going to get into this and say, yes, I want to be able to have my senses exercise to discern both good and evil. All right, that's the decision. Then there has to be a direction. The direction, that is the course that I must take in order to reach a destination. That's what a direction is. So we're looking at it. We're going to look at it in our next broadcast. We'll continue on from here. There's some words in the Bible, such as the word discern. It is there 17 times. The word understanding, 160 times. Wisdom is in the Bible, 234 times. And the word knowledge is there 160 times. Now, we're going to start there in this series, and we're going to see if we can figure out how knowledge can help us learn to discern. Knowledge is simply the accumulation of information, but it's done spiritually or it's done carnally. We're going to look at it. Be sure and tune in for our next broadcast.